Tweet at Today SOR.
The ESB has announced the introduction of pricing for its public electric vehicle charging network for the first time. The new charge has come into effect on the 18th of November for the use of its faster 50 kilowatt on-street charges. Joining me now for more on this are Ciarán Cuff, Green Party MEP for Dublin, and Geraldine Herbert, motoring journalist. Good morning to you both, Ciarán Cuff. This is going to cost electric car drivers more than three times as much to use the public chargers than to charge up using cheap nighttime electricity at home. Not everybody has the option of charging up at home. What do you, for instance, if you're living in an apartment, what do you make of this measure or this move by the ESB?
Well, I think it's a step in the right direction. We could have an argument as to how high the pricing should be. The pricing is for the fast chargers, so that's good that it's not extending to everyone. But I think what should be happening at the same time is the rollout of better management and maintenance of the charging units. There is a huge issue of both people overstaying at the charging point and people being what's called iced out, that people just park a regular car in front of the charger and hog the space. So I would like to see an announcement as to how they intend to manage the charging units, take care of charging units that are broken, and prevent cars from both hogging them and parking there that shouldn't be there at all.
Is there a system that would enable, say, parking attendants or the authorities to establish how long a car has been parked at a charging point?
That's a technological question, Sean. I don't know the immediate answer to that, but I think there should surely be a committee composed of the ESB and local authorities and indeed the Minister for Climate Action to try and resolve this issue so that we can prevent cars from overstaying their welcome at these charging points.
Geraldine Herbert, what do you make of this? You're somebody who writes a lot, and you've used these cars. You write a lot on the motoring issues. do you think this was an inevitable move by the ESB and a necessary one?
I think it was inevitable, and I do think it was necessary, and I think most EV drivers will actually welcome it, because there's a clear link between available and reliable network and an increase in EV sales. People need to know that if they need to charge their car, there will be a reliable network. Now, the thing about it is only the fast chargers that are being charged for, and these are a very small minority in terms of the total network. So I think people will be willing to pay for the convenience. The other thing as well is, remember, that if this...
When you say fast charger, by the way, how long does it take to charge your battery?
Okay, on one of these fast chargers, you'll probably get up to 80% in 20 to 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Now, the point here about people overstaying, that's a big issue among EV drivers. Mm. What you have is you have people who park and decide that they're going to charge their car right up to 100%. Nobody needs to charge on a public network up to 100%. You just need to get enough to go to the next point. So I think once people start charging, like paying for it, they will be much more likely to just get as much as they need and keep going. So it'll free up. I mean, these fast chargers are very, as I said, they're in the minority. They're very coveted. People need to know that they will work and they are available when they get there. And by charging for them, that will definitely sort that problem out.
I understand correctly that there are about 1,001 of these plug-in points around the country, and these are all fast charged.
Your standard 22 kilowatt, which are going to continue free. There's only about 80 fast chargers around the country, so these are only the ones that are being charged, that are now going to have to actually pay for. So it's a very, very small percentage of the chargers, but they're the vital ones at the same time, because if you're on your way to Cork from Dublin or you're doing a long journey, that 80% in 20 to 30 minutes, that's exactly what you need.
And what are the chances of the other 900 or so being upgraded then?
Yeah, that's what they've said. They will be upgraded. There will be money spent. And see, that's the other thing, Sean. It's not the numbers. It's where these points are and are they reliable. The other problem is non-EV drivers parking in them, as the point that was made there. I mean, if you look then on your app and you see that there's a charging point 10 kilometres along the way, if you get there and then discover that there's actually a non-EV car parked there, you know, that's of no use to you. So, like, it's not the numbers, it's that these charging points need to be reliable.
Is that a break? Is that a breach of the law to have a non-EV car parked at one of these spaces?
It depends. It differs around the country. Some places you have to pay for parking, and if this person has paid for parking, it probably isn't. So that needs to be standardised as well. But definitely EV drivers would welcome the idea that this will free up. If you have to pay for these, it will free them up.
Yeah, Ciarán Cuff, I think there are now about 12,000 electric vehicles on the roads here. That's a 55% increase in the number of electric vehicles in the past 10 and a half months alone. Now, how promising do you find that figure?
Look, it's a big jump, and indeed that is welcome. But I met the Norwegian ambassador to the EU yesterday, and he told me that there are 12,000, over 12,000 charging points in Norway, and that they are ensuring that there will be a charging point every 50 kilometres. Now, if you have that kind of commitment from a government, it means that people will choose electric. And indeed, 45% of new car sales in Norway are electric, plus an additional 20% are hybrid. So two-thirds of the new cars being bought are either hybrids or electric. If we can provide a level of ambition on the charging points, then I think we can roll out a significant increase. We can keep that figure going. And yet at the same point, I think it's important to realise that EVs aren't the only game in town. We need to put money into public transport as well. And we need to make sure that people aren't choosing an EV when there could be an improvement in a bus service that would give them the required network to get them to and from work. And, you know, in Dublin, things are improving with the Bus Connects network. But in all those regional cities, we should be improving public transport as well as putting in the EV charging infrastructure. So EVs aren't the only game in town. A big improvement in public transport is also needed to reach our climate goals.
And Geraldine Herbert, I think there was a €1.5 million allocated to the Department of Transport in the budget recently to roll out fast charging points to taxi ranks at transport hubs. Now, how much of an impact do you think that would make? And how big a difference would it make if, say, all taxis were to go electric?
Well, I mean, that would make a huge difference, Sean. And I mean, the more incentives that are there, the more people are likely to switch. The only thing I would say, Norway is always touted as one of these countries that is the leading light in terms of electric cars, and 70% of all new cars bought in Oslo are electric. The key thing about Norway, though, is they have spent vast sums of money making electric cars the same price as petrol and diesel cars. So it's not just simply that they have lots of charging infrastructures or they have lots of incentives. When you walk into a dealership, the electric car is the same price as the petrol and diesel car. That is not the case in Ireland. We don't have the resources to create that price parity. And the market is not going to provide that for another 3 years at least. So, I mean, I think it's important to look at Norway in that sense. It's not just about charging points. It's not just about incentives. Price is a key determinant in terms of whether or not people will go electric. And in Ireland, you know, the electric car is a significantly more expensive option than petrol or diesel at the moment.
Even though, Ciarán Cuff, I think there's a €5,000 tax rebate on VRT for fully electric vehicles. But again, maybe a conflicting signal sent, government ending the €3,800 grant for businesses purchasing electric cars or plug-in hybrids.
Yeah, you kind of wonder whether the dealers are sort of raising their prices as a response to the fairly generous grant. And I'd like to see evidence from other countries as to whether that is happening. Look, if I was buying electric in the morning, I'd be tempted to look at import prices. And I think a second-hand EV from the UK is pretty good value when you look at the taxation, when you look at the excise duty being zero on the electric vehicle. So I, you know, shop around is what people would say. I think we do want to see people move to electric if they have to drive, but we also have to make sure that all those other options of public transport, walking and cycling are made easier in every city, town and village around Ireland.
Do you agree with them about the imports, Shirley?
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't pay, you get VRT relief, so it does make them quite attractive. However, I would say the more electric cars that are sold, the more of a buoyant second-hand market there will be anyway. And then this, you know, reliable network is key for that. It really is.
Yeah, Ciarán Cuff, I know your party leader, Eamon Ryan, got into some controversy about people in rural Ireland last week. I mean, what about rural Ireland in the context of all this? I mean, how can you persuade people in rural parts of the country that, yeah, it's worth it, there's sufficient support to switch to electric?
Well, that support is coming. It's not there everywhere. And I think the main takeaway from what Eamon said the other week was that we need to have options other than everybody owning a car in rural Ireland. And car sharing works very well in some other countries. It should be on the menu of options for a village or a town in Ireland. And currently it isn't there. In Dublin, we do have Go Car and we have that option. I think it's important that we support people who have no other option but a car, and that we try and make sure that there is car sharing there as an option, because a lot of people aren't using the car for 8 or 16 hours of the day. They maybe make one journey to and from work, maybe there's multiple journeys, but there are households out there who would benefit if car sharing was an option for them. So I think that needs to be there as well.
And Sean, just on the rural Ireland is actually the best place for electric cars, because the majority of people have driveways, they have, they can install a home charger. There really is no reason for them not to go. I mean, in urban areas, apartments and everything are not suitable. Rural Ireland is actually more suitable.
Well, look, thank you both indeed for coming into, your case, coming into studio. Kieran Coffey in studio in Strasbourg, Green Party MP, and Geraldine Herbert, motoring journalist. Thank you both. We leave the last word on this to one of our callers, saying, while a new electric vehicle is a more expensive purchase, I save €5,000 a year on fuel, maintenance and tax. Don't forget to consider this. I imported my first EV from the UK for €6,000.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.